Tonight's shir, Parshas Veschanan. Parsha begins, Veschanan al Hashem be'isa hi lemor. Moshe is davening to Hashem to allow him to enter Eretz Yisrael. The Midrash Yalkut Shimoni says, Minayin shispalo Moshe chamesh meot v'chamesh esrei tefilot. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefilas in order to get into Eretz Yisrael, to Hashem stop them? Sh'ne'emar, as it says, Veschanan al Hashem. Minyan ve'eschanan hachiyavu. If you take the gematria of eschanan, it's 550. So from here we see daven 515 tefilas. So they ask, what that this the gematria, you know, ve'eschanan 515 says the Pnei Yeshua more than that. He makes the cheshbon how we in fact arrive at 550. How so? Said, when did Moshe Rabbeinu begin to daven? So Rashi actually says over here, because it says in the Pasuk, V'eschanan al Hashem be'esahi, at that time. I davened at that time. Says Rashi, L'char shekavashti eret Sichon ve'og. After I conquered Sichon and Og, then I thought maybe Hashem's going to let me go in. That's why I started davening. Now, when was this? The Gemara in Baba Basra says that the Milchemes Sichon and Og was in Tu Be'av, the 15th day of Av. Now, when did Moshe Rabbeinu die? Everybody knows, on Zayin Adar. So, if you go from Tu B'Av, when Moshe Rabbeinu started davening, until he died on Zayin Adar, how many days is that? Kvecheshben, 200. 200 days. Okay, so how many tefillas are there in a day? 3. So, what's 3 times 200? 600. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Lichura, Davin, 600 tefillas. Well, where how do we get to 515? It's 600. So says Bnei Yeshua, not yet. Because we know that on Shabbos, you're not supposed to daven for your personal needs. So in these 7 months, how many Shabboses were there? Well, there's 4 in the month. 7 times 4 is 28. So there's 28 Shabbos is where he didn't daven for his personal request. So therefore, we have 6, so there's 28. Now, there's 28 Shabboses, but each Shabbos there's 3 tefillas. 93 each day. So what's 3 times 28? 84. So out of our 600 tefillas, we have to take away 84 tefillas for Shabboses, right? 28 Shabboses, 3 tefillas each Shabbos, that's 84. So what are we holding? 600 less 84, we're down to 516. We're one off, 560. So how do we get to 515? It's very simple. When Moshe Rabbeinu davened on the last day, and then he died, he davened the Mara before, he davened Shacharis, but he didn't make it to Mincha. So he didn't daven 3 tefillas on Zayin Adar, only 2. He died in the afternoon, before Mincha. So Memela, he davened 515 tefillas, communion of Eschana. Hafla v'fela. Next. Says, in the Pasuk, we have a commandment, Perek Dalad Pasuk Beis, Lo sosifu ala davar asher anochi metzaveh eschem, lo sigru mimenu. The Yisra bal tosif and bal sigru. You're not allowed to add on to mitzvahs or take away from mitzvahs. So Rashi says, for example, make five parshas in your tefillin instead of 4, or 5 minim instead of 4, or 5 tzitzis, etc. V'chein lo sigur, says Rashi, you can't take away either. It has to be the right amount. Now, that being the case, the question is asked, if so, then how could Chazal make their various gezeiras? Aren't they adding to the Torah? You know, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat, for example, basar b'chalav, right? Milk and meat. So they added and said, you know, you can't eat even chicken and milk. Gezeirah d'rabbanan, example. So how could they do this? How could all these gezeiras d'rabbanan be allowed when the Torah says b'feirush, you're not supposed to add to the Torah? So Rav Yehuda Pesaya, one of the gedolim kubalim in Iraq, explained this using the following mashal. He says there was once a sick person, and he called the doctor in. The doctor checked him out and saw what the problem was, and he gave him a prescription. So I guess maybe he was a natural doctor, I don't know, or That's what doctors did in those days. But they said, he said, here's what you have to do. You have to take this spice and mix it with this amount of oil and add this liquid and this, that whole concoction. Fine, he gave him, he wrote it down for him exactly what to do, how to prepare it. And then he told the sick man before he left, but I'm warning you. You have to follow exactly as I prescribe. Every to the last detail. If you change it, any add or subtract anything, it can be deadly. You have to do it exact, okay? Sick person said 100%. But the doctor left, and immediately he got going, putting the thing together. A little bit of that, a little bit of that. He put it all together, mixed it up in a bowl, and then he poured it into a little, like, a container, right? And covered it. So his friend was watching me. He says, what are you doing? He says, what? He says, did you hear the doctor? He said, you have to do exactly as he told you. And you didn't. He says, what do you mean? I did exactly what he said. He says, no. He said, the doctor said to do this and this. But he didn't say to put it in the container. What are you doing put it in the container for? Wasn't on the list. So he says, you fool. He says, there's a container. That's not the part of the ikkar. The medicine's the medicine. The container's the container, so it doesn't get lost. If I leave it, I get spilled or whatever. I'll lose it. It's to hold it so it doesn't disappear. You know, they have to have the container. Mela, that's the nimshal, right? The Kosh Baruch Hu said you're not supposed to add to the Torah. So that's the medicine. Okay. What are you not allowed to? What are the Chachamim doing? They're giving the container so that we don't lose the ikkar, the medicine, right? The Torah. They're not adding to the Torah. They're giving the container, so we don't lose it. Right? A little person that transgresses the Rabbanan, you're liable to lose the derisus. Mele's only the container. He says, based on this, explains the Chazal in Brachas, Avdala Amud Beis, it says, V'chola over al divrei Chachamim chayav misa. So many are bothered by this. What does that mean? A person that says it transgresses a drabanan, he's chayav misa. So why should he be chayav misa? He says a person eats treif, chazir. Is chayav misa? No. Right? He doesn't put on tefillin one day. Is chayav misa? No. So how could it be that the deraisa is not chayav misa, a lot of them, and the drabanan, you're chayav misa? How can that be? He said, according to what we're saying now, it's very good. Because based on the mashal we gave, it's like if you take the, you have the container holding the medicine, and you come along and you stick a thing in the bottom and you make a hole in the container, and all the medicine spills out. Right? That's terrible. Why? Because, what? I only the container. I didn't touch the medicine. It was only the container. Yeah, but the container's holding the medicine. Without the container, goodbye medicine. Same thing over here. Without you transgress the Rabbanan, goodbye the whole Torah. It's the container. It's holding the whole Torah together. Without it, goodbye Torah. So therefore, a chayav misa. Okay. It says in the pasuk, "Ki mi goy gadol, asher lo elokim krovim elav kashem elokeinu." So he says, they ask, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to keep 613 mitzvahs and the goyim only 7. Manashach. If it's not important, you know, 7, as long as you have the ikkar 7, that's fine. So then why did Hashem have to give us all these extra? And if no, they're important. You have to have the extra. You can't just have 7. So then how come the goyim only got 7? Shlomi Yonis and Ivishitz answered based on another mashal. He says that somebody who is a minister by the king, you know, he's one of the ministers in the king's government. So this guy has a few different suits. Each one is perfectly, you know, pressed, kept clean, of course. And he himself has to, you know, make sure he's polished in the way he talks, the way he acts. And why? Because he's in and out of the king constantly, right? He's constantly in every day. He sees the king, so he's got to make sure he's really, you know, tip top constantly. Whereas this stomach kafrido, the village person, whatever in the village there, that's he's one of the, you know, in the king's country. But how often does he see the king? Maybe once in a lifetime or one a couple of times. So he has a suit, you know, one little suit that he has there put aside, that just in case, you know, the king's coming, something to put on. But the guy doesn't work on himself, doesn't, you know, make sure he has a whole wardrobe, doesn't use a polished speaker, and everything. Why? He hardly ever sees the king. Hamele, says Rav Yonah, and that's the difference between us and the goyim. We are like the tsar, and they're like the village person. Right? We are, as we said in the pasuk, "Ki mi goy gadol asher lo Elohim krovim elav kashem elokim." We are close to Hashem, so we're like the minister. It's in and out of the king. So we got to be polished. We have to make sure we have a nice suits. We have to know how we act. We have to, therefore, we have to have a lot of mitzvahs because we're so close to the king. Whereas the goyim, they're like the village person. No, often they get close to the king, so therefore they only need seven mitzvahs. They don't need to be so refined as we do. Now, a short one. It says in the Pirkei Avot pasuk Tes, "Raki shamir lacha ushmor nafshecha me'od." So the Kotzker Rebbe points out the two words in the Torah which are mute, come to me mimayet, are rak and ach. Coming to mimayet, say to take away, detract. So here we have the pasuk, rak yishamer lecha. What is it coming to detract? Says the Kotzker Rebbe, you have to break the pasuk into two sections. Rak yishamer lecha. When it comes to lecha, yourself, your bodily needs, your physicality, then rak, you should be memayat. Don't go too crazy with your physical needs. But ushmor nafshecha me'od. But when it comes to your nefesh, that you have to shomer me'od. Your body is rak, but your nefesh me'od. Says in the pasuk, "Rak hishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha me'od pentishka," that we have to be careful not to forget. Here, the Torah is referring to not forgetting my Minhar Sinai. It's a cute ma'isa in the area of forgetting, or in this case, not forgetting. That once Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem imkom damo, he paid a visit to the Rogatchover, Rav Yosef Rosen. And Rav Yosef, the Rogatchov was known to, he was a genius, and he had a photographic memory. So Rav Elchanan came into him once, and the Rogatchover said, "Makvodo say, what do you do? So he says, "Lomedim yiladim," so I learn with children. I'm a cheder Rebbe, whatever. So the Rogatchov, where? So he says, "Yeshivas Bronovich. I teach my students in Bronovich Yeshiva." Umachidashtem, and he says, "Tell me a chiddush." He's teaching yeshiva. Tell me a chiddush. Fine. So Rav Elchanan picked out a certain chiddush or whatever, and he told him the chiddush. So says the Rogatchover, "What? In 40 years you weren't mechadish anything?" That was his comment. So Rav Elchanan thought, "Oh, so what does he mean by that?" He thought, "I told mechadish." He said, "What? In 40 years didn't mechadish anything?" He said, I was trying to think. Well, what did, then it hit me. He said, "Last time I met up with the Rogatchover was 40 years ago. He asked me the same question, and I told him the same chiddush. And he remembered from 40 years ago that was the chiddush I told him. So therefore he said, what? You didn't mechadish anything in 40 years? Kilo, that was the same thing you told me 40 years ago." That was his memory. It says the famous pasuk, "Ushmarta me'od l'nafshasecha." From here we learn the mitzvah to take care of one's physical health. And around 20 years ago, there was a tragedy in Bnei Brak where a mother and her three children were killed in a traffic accident. And they had a seifat hitorarut in Bnei Brak to awaken people to what happened, the tragedy. And Rav Nissim Karelitz, Shlita, he spoke, and he said the following. He says, if we, the rabbis, were in charge of making the traffic laws, he says, it would be much, 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 much more severe. He says, so at least people should keep the ones that the country makes. He says, if we were in charge, there'd be much, much, much more severe, because we realize the value of life. So at least people should keep the minimum, which the country says. There's this, we spoke about the Rogatchover. He used to say about the Rogatchover that whenever he would cross the street, he would have to cross the street, he would wait and make sure there's no cars coming, not just no cars. He was saying there's no cars even in the horizon. No car whatsoever, anywhere at all, and then he would only cross the street. So they asked him, why are you doing that? I mean, we can't be even a car like a mile away. I mean, why are you doing this? So he says, I'll tell you why, because the mitzvah v'nishmartem me'or l'nafshoseichem. Right? If one doesn't keep it, and one isn't careful with his health, this is Naveri says that you can't do tshuva. Can't do tshuva. Person doesn't take care of himself, and chas v'shalom something happens, that might lead chas v'shalom to his death. You do tshuva? No tshuva. Finish. Nothing you can do. So he says, since, you know, crossing the street, you have to be careful. So this is a mitzvah of mishmartem me'or l'nafshoseichem. I'm extra machmir in him, because this is Naveri, if you don't do it, there's no tshuva. Says the pasuk Atar Reis Al Das Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Od Milvado. It's a perush from Rav Sholem Eliezer Mi Ratzpret, Hashem Yinkom Domo, name of his father, the Divrei Chaim Mitzanz, so son of the Kloisenberg Rebbe. So he said that that in the time of when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they're in Mitzrayim. They left early. Okay? Why? It was all because of the Midas Adin. Meaning, Hashem wanted to take them out early. They were supposed to be in Mitzrayim 400 years. Hashem wanted to do them a favor and get them out early. So how did he do that? He allowed the Shibu to get very, very, very severe. And therefore they paid off their debt, so to speak, of suffering in a short amount of time. You know, something which would have to, you know, they paid off their debt early. So instead of being there 400, they suffered a lot, and that got them out early, 210 years. So it comes out that the midas adin, so to speak, of suffering was actually, noveh, came from rachamim, that in order that they can get out early. So he said, that's what we see in the pasuk. Atah reis hodas ki Hashem hu Elokim. Hashem is midas rachamim. So the midas rachamim hu Elokim sometimes comes from the Elokim, from the din. From the din, is very, very often comes the rachamim. It's all for the rachamim in the end. It's a beautiful story mentioned about Rab Moshe Pardo. Moshe Pardo, he was once a businessman, and eventually he took upon himself to collect money for the Or HaChaim girls' school in Bnei Brak. It's a huge school for Balas Tshuva. In Bnei Brak, and he took upon himself to be the fundraiser for the sheep. So once he was in his travels in America, whatever, raising money, and he got sick. And he had a very, very busy schedule, of course, going for one person, another person, you know, raising money, and he got sick. He couldn't get out of bed, and he said, "Why is this happening to me? You know, I'm on here on a mitzvah, you know." Trying to raise money for the school, and I have these appointments, and I can't function. Why is this happening? He couldn't understand. So, first thing, what can he do? He has to call the doctor. So he called the doctor. So the doctor comes. Happened to be a non-religious Jewish doctor. So he comes in, checks him out, whatever. And he says, you know, open your shirt, I have to listen to your heart, whatever. So he opens up, and he sees that, you know, of course, Rav Pardo is wearing tzitzis, you know, all his katan. So he looks at it and he says, "Whoa, talis katan." He says, "Oh, I thought that, I didn't know people still wear these things today. I remember from back when I was a kid, you know, from Europe, whatever. I remember the talis katan, and I didn't know people still wear these things." So immediately Rav Pardo saw, "Ooh, you know, we're talking about here. I see he's a yid. I didn't even know it was a yid. He sees a yid. You know, it's a little bit of background, you know." So he tried to you know, talk to the heart of this doctor, and he says, "Listen, you know, there's a big tshuva movement these days, and you know, maybe you should also think about it." Try to give him a chizuk. So he had an idea. He forced himself out of bed. He walks over to his suitcase, and he pulls out a pair of tefillin. And it was a very, very expensive pair of tefillin, which he would give as a gift to somebody who donates a lot of money, you know, to the cause, to this institution. But he decided, I think this is the right thing. He took the tefillin, and he says to the doctor, "Here, this tefillin is worth hundreds of dollars, and I want to give it to you as a gift, because I want you to put on tefillin. I want you to put on tefillin. Give me it as a gift, you'll put on tefillin." So the doctor was taken aback. He goes, "Wow, you're giving me these tefillin." He said, "You know what, Rabbi? I promise you I'm going to put on these tefillin every day. I'm going to put on tefillin. And also, I promise you that if ever I make it to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to come and pay you a visit. Visit Amunos, visit your institution. So Paragel says, please, you know, of course, you're invited any time. And that was it. And he left. So, already the Pardo was thinking, ah, you see, hey, you thought, you know, why am I sick, whatever. Who knows, why is it was all to Mazaka this Yid in the midst of the film. Fine. Story doesn't end here. Years later, many years later, of the Pardo's in B'nai Brak, in this, you know, by the school, and the secretary calls him and says, there's somebody here to see you. He says, what's his name? He says, the name. He says, doesn't sound familiar. He says, yeah, but he wants to speak to you. Okay. So he sends him in. He looks a little familiar, and he tells her, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so. I was, do you remember? He gave me the fill. And he says, oh, of course. He hugs and kisses him. Wow, no, wow. He says, yeah, you know, I promise you if I come to you, so I'm going to be your institution. So here I am. He says, oh. She says, I want you to know something, Rabbi. Ever since that day that I met you and you gave me that pair of tefillin, I haven't missed a day putting on tefillin. I use it every single day. So he's like, wow, that's amazing. So he said, while I'm here, can you take me around and show me around? And he says, of course. He takes him around, shows him this, it was a big campus, you know, it's a big campus in the neighborhood. Shows him this building, that building, this dormitory, the whole thing. So he finishes the tour and he comes back and he says, you know, Rabbi, I'm shocked. You know, I thought, you know, your school is a little tiny building, a couple of rooms. I didn't realize the whole campus here. It's wonderful. That is that. So before he left, the doctor says, you know, I never got married, had any children. I'm all alone in this world. And, you know, I'm getting old. That's an older, my old man already. And after seeing all of this, I decided that I want to write to you, to your institution, all my possessions. I want to write off all my possessions to this institution. So Rapardo goes, wow, you really? He says, yeah. So he said, you know, Rapardo opens up the siddur and he points to the Pirkei Avos, and it says, B'shas b'tirasso shel Adam ein malavin lo lo kesef lo zav lo avanim tovos. When a person dies, not his money, gold, silver, or jewels do not go with him. Ela Torah Maisim Tovim build that. It says only Torah and Maisim Tovim go with you. The person, you know, he makes money, whatever, he dies, as the saying goes, can't take it with you. So by doing this, he says, you're going to take something with you to the next world. It's unbelievable. So he quickly got in like a lawyer, sat down with the contract, whatever, and wrote it all up, an official, and he signed him and gave him all this, signed over his all his possessions. So afterwards, Rav Pardo said, you see, you know, when I was sick, I said, why is this midas adin? You know, why is this happening? Why am I sick? I'm doing a mitzvah. So I thought, in the end, oh, to mezakah this person in tefillin. Who would have ever thought that I would make all this money, which was I was on this fundraising trip, that I was sick so that I could make all this money. It was all, who would have thought? The midas arachamim coming from the midas adin. It says, Pasuk, Hashem Elokeinu karas imanu bris b'chorev. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in Chorev, and Har Sinai. So Har Sinai, as we know, is the lowest of all the mountains, and where he gave the Torah, to show that one has to be very humble. So we see many stories of the humility of the Gedolim. I'd like to share with you an interesting one that's more modern, up-to-date. Just the Maisa with Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. So he is a very close, Rav is very close to him, is Rav Eliyahu Mann Shlita. He's very close to Rav Chaim. So sometimes people have questions, whatever, they give it to him, they ask Rav Eliyahu, they should, you know, go to Rav Chaim with these questions. So one day, this Rav Mann gets a phone call from somebody from America. And he's very upset. And he says, maybe I wonder if you can help me. He says, I have a son that's 6 years old, and he got very sick, very ill. And I was making a cheshbon and nefesh and thinking, why is this happening to me? You know, why is my son so sick? So I was making a cheshbon and nefesh, and I think I maybe realize what the source of it is. Why? He says, because I'm a cheder rebbe. And when I'm teaching the boys, I try to, you know, give them chizuk or whatever. So sometimes, you know, I said to the boys, you know, okay, you might think you're not, you don't have so much, you know, abilities and talents and whatever, and learning, but you should know that even Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, when he was a boy, he was very weak, and he wasn't strong in his mentally or whatever, learning, and look who he became, they got all adore, right? So you too can do it, you know. So I was thinking that maybe, you know, maybe that's called like Lashon Hara, right? You know, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say talk like that about Chaim Kanievsky to the boys. So Rav Man says, okay, let's say, so what do you want from me? So he says, well, you know, I'm in America, you're near Israel, you're close to Rav Chaim. I want you to ask Mechila, you know, ask a Mechila for me. So Rav Man said, I'm embarrassed. I'm gonna, like, I feel embarrassed asking anybody. This guy said that you're weak, and I can't do that. So he said, I'll tell you what. He says, write it all down, exactly what you want. You ask a Mechila, because what you said, whatever, and just fax it to me. And I'll show Rav Chaim the letter, the fax, and then that'll do. I'll hand him up. I don't want to start talking about it. So he said, fine. So he writes him the thing. You know, I said that the Rav was weak when he was young, now he said, I want to ask him Mechila. So Rav Man hands it to Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim looks and he starts laughing, first of all. And he first comment was, he says, you know, in my father's house, the Stipler, there's a book, and somebody wrote in this book about the Chazon Ish, and the author, right? And he wrote in this about Chazon Ish that when he was young, Chazon Ish was young, he was not a Baal Kishron. He was not strong. He didn't have so much talent. And later he became the Chazon Ish. So he said, I remember my father, the Stipler, when he saw this, he got furious. And he wrote on the side that this is Sheker and Motzi Shemra, because it's not true that the Chazon Ish was, in fact, his whole life was a genius. It wasn't just later on. He was always, and it's Lashon Hara. And he wrote that next to it in the Sefer. He made a tikkun. So he said, you know, that's my father made a tikkun about the Chazon Ish, and that's, as far as I'm concerned, it's not the case, because it's true. He says, it's not Moshe Shema. When I was young, I was, and the truth of the matter is, he says, it's another thing not true here. He says that, what is not true here, though, he says, is that even now I'm not a Baal Kishon. I wasn't when I was younger, and I'm also now not. So, that's it. Okay. So Rahman left with that. Okay, so he said, you also have to be Mechila. It's true, I was not a Baal Kishon. I'm still not. As it happened, Rahman bumped into Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, that's all, at the time. And he said, I'm going to ask Rav Michal Yehuda why. Because Rav Michal Yehuda happened to be Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Rebbe in the yeshiva's Tiferes Tzion. He was his Rebbe when Rav Chaim was young. So he said, I'm going to ask him. He was his Rebbe. Let's see. So he said, listen, is it true that Rav Chaim, when he was a boy, he wasn't talented? So he said, no, it's not true. He said, I remember him as a boy, and he was his Lashon was Hayab Baal Kishon Vahu Valkulam. He was talented and he was beloved by everybody. That was the word of Michal Yehuda. So it's not true. He really was. So Rav Man said to Rav Michal Yehuda, would Rosh Hashiva mind if I go to tell Rav Chaim what you just said in your name? He goes, no problem. You can tell him in my name what I just said. So he went back to Rav Chaim and he says, with all due respect, I was this by Rav Michal Yehuda, was your Rebbe, and he said that you were a Baal Kishon, now who Baal Kulam? So... So he said, okay, you got me, you know. So he said, fine. And he just said, Ani moichalo, Ani moichalo, Ani moichalo. Fine, I moichal the guy who in Chutzar spoke about me, the Malamed, and I moichal, I'm fine. And sure enough, the Besoros Tovas were not too far away, and the boy, Rosh Hashem, got completely better after this. I'll end off with something from the Kriyat Shema, and with this we say, of course course, the Sedra has the first paragraph in the Kriyat Shema, which ends Ukshartam Loos Al Yadecha Vayu Latotafos Beinei Necha Slaftam Omezos Beisecha. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Orachayim Simin Kafhei Siftes Asur Lafsik B'dibur Ben Tfila Shel Yad L'Tfila Shel Rosh. You're not allowed to interrupt between the Tfilin of Yad and the Tfilin, you're not allowed to talk in between. So the Pidrash perhaps Rav Yehuda Tzadka, the Rashiva of Poros Yosef, says there's a remez to something very important here. He says that the Tfilin Shel Yad is a remez to people, simple people that are balabatim, that are working people, that they spend most of their days working for their parnasa. That's a Shel Yad, the Yad, the workers. Shel Rosh is a remez to those who use their Rosh, and that is the people sitting and learning. So one could think that okay, nothing to do with each other. They're the Ran, they're the Rosh, you know, nothing to do with each other. So comes along this halacha to Meramis, who asks, no, that they're very, very closely connected. Right? Those that are working need those that are learning, because they are the ones that, you know, bring bracha and tzlacha into the world. And those that are learning need those that are working to help support them. So it's a dual relationship over here. And they need each other. So there's a very big connection between the Yad and the Rosh. Mimela, that's Miruma as an halacha, that you're not allowed to mafsik ben Yad and the Rosh. You can't make a hefsek. I mean, there has to be a connection. They're not two separate entities. There's a connection. The Yad and the Rosh, those working and those learning, there has to be the strong connection. Therefore, Asur lafsik. She albi zoicha, Shabbos nachamu, to receive the ultimate nechama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'bias kol tzedek, v'mhir v'yameinu.